patiently waited. Someone asked, you know, how my wife and I enjoyed our 2 weeks together between Snowvid and COVID. And we both agreed we enjoyed our company together, but the next time we want to spend 2 weeks together, it might be doing something else, you know. So, but it is good to be back. So, Jeff, Melinda, you seem to have new grandkids every week. Is there a third one? Okay. All right.
Yeah, 2 in 1 week.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
tell you what, man, the cost of grandkids just keeps going up. Be fighting over birthdays and, you know, knowing your two kids, they'll probably have birthday, a lot of them together. Yeah. Or they could fall into the trap of competition. We hope that won't happen. Not that that happens in families. So we are really glad to be here. I'm really glad that you're here. I want to say a special word of welcome to everyone that's with us by the internet today. We're really glad that you're there as well. Let me give just a couple of things in the way of instructions. If you're new to us, you can catch us digitally on YouTube or here on Facebook. And if you're on the Facebook side, I'd like to invite you to open a watch party so your friends and family can join you. Also, I'm going to ask those of you at home and those of us here in person, if you're on Facebook, would you open up your Facebook, check in here at the Little ALF? Just let your friends and your neighbors know that you're here and that you would love to have them here with you as well. Our message will be available on podcast later this afternoon. And anytime you see that small Bible icon, all of today's notes are available to you in the free YouVersion Bible app. And anytime you see that small Bible icon, that means I have given you a link where you can go dig a little bit deeper into the topic that I can't really do this morning. So if you're noticing, the living room changes a little bit. If you remember a couple of weeks ago, we had a friend sitting in the corner. We're all just having fun here. We're not having... And then the week after that, I put in the snow globe for that Snowvid. I'm going to tell you what, Punxsutawney Phil told us, bam. I'm going to tell you, when I saw the weather forecast for a -3, I looked at that and I said, that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I mean, in Texas, I've been to Moscow in January. I get it. Man. And so the table is starting to gather a few things. So I just want to invite you. There's always a little something. You know, there's a little extra layers. And so you might just kind of pay attention to that. So a few things just to remind you of our Wednesday night Bible study. I heard Josh and the other Josh did a great job on Sunday, Wednesday night. So that was great. Also, I want to encourage you to remember your gifts. If you're here in person, you can give in the offering boxes in the foyer on your way out, or you can give through our digital portal on Tithe. It's safe, it's secure, or if you'd like to mail a gift, this is our physical mailing address. One of the things I had gotten out of the habit of doing, oh, Jeff, I'll ask you, did you get a new grandchild this week?
No.
Okay. I announced one, and Josh announced one, and I just thought maybe we'd go 3 for 3. So, but one of the things I've really kind of gotten out of the habit of that I was reminded the importance of is helping us all to remember how important our gifts are. And so this week, we just want to say thanks because your giving is letting us work on the heating and air. You say, well, the heating's not doing so much. You're right, because it's not working. That's right. So this week we had some work done, and there were 3 questions to answer. We've answered one of them. The second question, it'll take 2 to 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks to answer. And then the third question will be answered immediately after question number 2. So that's why it's a little cooler today. We're not subletting the building for meat hanging or anything like that. But one of the things... that we want to remember as we give is it does touch the world, it does touch our community, but it also gives us the ability to meet the needs right here on campus. So we appreciate that. It's a lot. Remember our online Bible study at 9 o'clock, and we're going to have an announcement here pretty quick. We're hoping to bring back our in-person Sunday school this month, so we're looking forward to that as well. But we had a great discussion this morning about Lazarus and the rich man, and we get to put something on the calendar.
Yay!
on the calendar. It's been a year of taking things off calendars. Who even needs a calendar? What day is it? And who cares? We're not going anywhere. We're not doing anything. Well, we are excited to say the last Wednesday night of the month, Lord willing, we're going to enjoy an Easter egg hunt and some other things. So you can kind of put that down in your brain. As we pray this morning, let's remember our family members. Brother Bobby was transferred to the next station of recovery. He's at a rehabilitation near the downtown Dallas area, and Lord willing, I'll get a chance to be with him next week. So let's just please remember our family as we pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, what a beautiful day you have made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for this place. We thank you for these faces. Lord, we thank you for those that are with us by the internet, wherever in the world they may be. And Father, we pray that our presence together and our presence with you would seem very intimate. Lord, I pray for everything that is vying for our attention, to distract us, to concern us. Lord, I pray that you would push all those things aside. Lord, that you would create a little breathing space for us mentally, physically, spiritually. Lord, that we could just come into your presence and rest a while. Lord, that we could worship, that we could hear your word. Lord, that we can understand your word. And Lord, that we might be doers of your word. Father, I pray that you would remember your servant. Lord, give him clarity and passion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are continuing our look at the topic of a faith that walks through fire. Now, listen, the last year has been fire-laden. Wouldn't you agree? Can you believe it's been a year? The lost year. 2020. The lost year. That's what I'm going to call it for the rest of my life. Paul, what was 2020? The lost year. But it has been fires and rumors of fires and new fires. It's incredible. But we have a faith that when we live by faith and when we're discipled and we're courageous and when we make choices, we can walk through fire. And I believe that in time, by choice and by diligence, even through the fire of the last year, we will see benefits. So 2 weeks ago, I introduced you to King Nebuchadnezzar II. He's a big player in our study for the next few weeks. And King Nebuchadnezzar was a great ruler. He was strong, and he was historical, and he wasn't always good. But we're gonna get to know King Nebuchadnezzar, and I think you're going to see similarities. Not that we're kings or queens, and not that we might do evil at the level in which he might do it. But one of the things that I try to remind myself is that regardless of the station in life, every single one of us share the human experience. We all have concerns, we all have worries, we all have insecurities, we all have good days, we all have bad days. And King Nebuchadnezzar is the same. So if you would read with me, Daniel, the second chapter, verses 1-3. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. How important are dreams? Now, we're not talking about dreams for the future. We're talking about dreams as while you're asleep. How many of you guys are dreamers? Do you dream? Okay. How many of you guys have ever had a dream that you woke up and you thought, well, how in the world can I, what does that mean? Anybody ever have a really weird dream? Yeah. I can remember a time in my life I had a reoccurring dream and it was very disturbing and I had to pray through it. But how important are dreams? Well, Dr. Matthew Walker says this, it is said that time heals all wounds, but my research suggests that time spent in dream sleep is what heals. Science tells us that there is healing attributes to deep REM sleep, and deep REM sleep is where you dream dreams. It's very important to get that deep, restful, recuperative sleep, and Dr. Matthew has a great article about that, and I've given you a link to go see that. Have you guys heard about this startup company called Amazon? Maybe you've heard of them. They're kind of new. I've heard their owner makes a little bit of money. He's got a nice little profit margin. I think he's the wealthiest man in the world now, Jeff Bezos, I think. But on Amazon, we can ask this question. How many books are available today under the topic of dream interpretation? Ronnie, what do you think? I know you shop Amazon all the time.
Three?
That's a good guess. Currently, there are over 3,000 volumes available on the topic of dream interpretation. So are dreams important? They are important. Do we want to know what they mean? We certainly do. There's at least 3,000 authors who say we want to know. Have you ever woke up and forgot to write down the dream and then it's gone? I hate that one. That's why the really smart people say that we should keep a notebook or a notepad by our bed. So when you wake up with an idea or a dream, you can write it down before you lose it. So in the Bible, there are 113 passages that include dreams in them. Now, I'm going to read all of them for you today. Let's go on. So the king summoned the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, the astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. The king was looking for insight to his dream from his dream team. He brought in all of the great minds and the great thinkers and the spiritualists of his kingdom. He brings them in and he says, I have had a dream that bothers me. And I want to know what it means. That seems fair. We just said over 3,000 volumes. He calls in his dream team because he believes they can bring him the answer. Now, don't mistake them for this dream team. Some of you have no idea, but most of you do. Anyway, they asked him to tell them what the dream was, but he refused. Now, have you ever been asked a question that you don't know the answer and they won't give you all of the question? A man who has three channels in his brain, I start a lot of conversations halfway through. Yeah, I do. It's unfair to my bride because I will have had half the conversation in my mind and then I'll just step into, so what do you think? And my wife will look at me like, blue? Because I've had the conversation in my head. So the king calls in his greatest minds. He says, I've had a dream. It's disturbing to me. And I want you to tell me what it means. And they go, well, tell us what the dream is. Now, that seems fair enough, right? But the king refuses. He says, no, I'm not going to tell you anything. You're supposed to tell me. And it didn't go so well. The astrologers answered the king, there is no one on earth who can do what the king has asked. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among us. King, you're asking for the undoable. Can't do it. The dream team waves the white flag. They give in. They surrender. King, we can't do it. We don't have the power. We don't have the ability. We don't have what you need. Not only do they wave the white flag, they instead defer to the gods, saying that only they could answer his question, and they weren't readily available. Now, that's the kind of gods that you want. I always go back to the contest up on Mount Carmel when, the question is asked, so is your God out on vacation? Or there's an inference there that there could be, like, in a potty setting. Well, I don't want to go in deep there. But we can't do it, and the only people who could do it are the gods, little g's, and they're not available. There's nothing like asking a question and being told there's not an answer. How do you like that? Is that one of your favorite things? Jeff, do you like that? Do you like asking a question and they go, I don't know. Your kids ever just wear you out? Well, how was your day? I don't know. What'd you do today? I don't know. Ladies, is that the way you love to communicate with your groom when he comes in after a long day? Well, how was your day? Fine. Now, men, for us, that's enough. But ladies, for most of you, the majority of you, that's not enough. What does fine mean, right? What does it look like? What did you do during fine? And I try to do better. I try to do better when my bride and I talk. I try to be more. So the king asks the question, and verse 12 says this. This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men in Babylon. So the decree was issued to put wise men to death. And men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. The king's response was swift and severe. Now, not only was he disappointed, not only did he not like the answer, but he goes, I am so disappointed, I'm going to kill you all. Now, can you imagine how that would work in our world today? Now, this isn't a political statement, it's just a question. What if we applied this logic to Washington, D.C.? We ask the question, they go, oh, no. Anyway. So anyway, the king's response was swift and severe. What can fuel such a drastic and dramatic response? I love that word drama. You could say the word drama and we all think of different things, right? You just don't want to be a drama mama. That's not a badge of honor, right? Well, the first one typically can be fear. You can be a drama mama out of fear, can't you? Because your mind starts trying to fill in all the questions. The mind wants the answers. See, that's the thing about you and I. If you don't know, you want to know. But what's really tough is when you don't know and you want to know, but you don't want to know. That's when it really gets sticky. But fear, listen, it doesn't matter what stage of life you're in. It doesn't matter what position of life you're in. We all taste fear and have to respond to it. Fear is a part of life. Or it can be pride. Well, I deserve to know. Now, what's interesting is, you know, the Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, it depends on how you ask of whether it's biblical or unbiblical, isn't it? Now, it's interesting as parents and grandparents, if our children ask a question with humility and the interest of information, we'll answer that question. But if they ask the question in challenging your authority, it's a completely different thing, right? We don't go for that. It depends on how short a walk it is to, well, because I said so. My grandparents used to say, because I will knock you out. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that's what was there. Can I ask you this question? I don't need any elbows. I'm not looking for hands. Do you ever fly off the handle? The king flew off the handle. Couldn't we agree? Do you ever fly off the handle? So last night, Jared, you'll appreciate this because I know you're a UFC fan. So there was a UFC match last night, a pay-per-view, which I didn't pay for. So the preliminaries, the early matches, are on free TV. That's my kind of TV. And I set my DVR to record it because I want the free, right? Now, there has been, in recent days, this thing called college basketball, of which I don't have any interest in until March Madness gets here. And on more than one occasion, I have set my DVR to record the prelims so that I can go back and enjoy them for free, only to have a basketball game push all the way out into my recording. And I miss what I actually wanted to see. So last night, I go over, I'm going to watch what I had intended to record, and guess what I see? A basketball game. And I flew off the handle. For the love of Pete's sake, can't a man just watch what he wanted to watch? Why does every time I record something like this, a stupid basketball game has to take 6 hours to play the last 2 minutes? All I want to do is watch a little MMA. I mean, I cut loose. There wasn't any profanity, violence, or throwing, but I was expressing my displeasure. And so just to see how much they took from me, I start forwarding, and it went about 4 minutes, 37 seconds before they switched over.
4 minutes, huh?
Yeah, and I looked down to the other end of my couch where my bride's sitting. I said, I take it all back. William Ward says this, flying off the handle sometimes causes hammers and humans to lose their heads as well as their effectiveness. Brothers and sisters, when we fly off the handle, our effectiveness is lost. We live in a world where we're just throwing hammerheads, and the effectiveness is being lost. The king flew off the handle, and things are about to get bad. Like one in 100 things when the handle and the hammerhead are parted are funny. You know, just every now and then, but most of it's bad, right? Verse 14. When the commander of the king's guard had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. This is the same Daniel we met at the beginning of this sermon series when the lions come to dinner. And so the commander has come with strict orders to kill them all. And Daniel goes, hey, can we just talk about this a second? Just a minute. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree? Then he explained the matter to Daniel. And at this, Daniel went to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. We see how much respect that not only the chief guard had for Daniel, but also the king, that he would ask for a delay and actually receive it. That tells you where Daniel is in this. Let me ask you this. If you've flown off the handle, how typical are you for reasoning? Like last night, I flew off the handle. I didn't want to reason. I don't care. I don't care about North Carolina. I don't care about March Madness. I didn't care. All I knew was. So here's Daniel, and he speaks with humility and grace and tact, and he goes into the chief guard, and then he goes into the king himself and asks, can you just hold this a minute? That I might interpret your dream. You like free stuff? I know Ronnie does. Dr. John Maxwell, one of his most famous slogans is this, leadership is influence. Influence is defined as the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something. Influence has countless advantages, but gaining that influence, like learning a skill, takes time and effort. Fortunately, there are many strategies that you could use to cultivate this characteristic. Church, can I say this? Leadership is influence. Far too many times, we as Christians think the world owes us an audience. Well, my friends, they don't, and they don't feel like they do. And I believe, and I know this to be true because I once was one of them. The world does not owe you an audience. The world does not owe you followership. What the world needs from us is patience, grace, and humility, that we might earn the opportunity to show them Jesus, and to use words when necessary. Influence is as valuable in the purposes of the church as it is for the CEOs of corporations. It's as valuable in your office space as it is in Washington. Influence is important. And may I say this, everyone influences someone to something. So as to give you a little something extra in your toolbox, I want to give you 7 ways to build influence very quick. 1, build trust with your coworkers. They don't care if they can't trust. Is trust a high commodity to you? You better believe it is. You have to build trust. Secondly, cultivate reliability through consistency. Not only do you have to be trustworthy, but you got to keep showing up and batting for average. You don't get to just be Johnny Christian at Christmas and Easter and the rest of the year you live like a devil. It don't work that way. You don't get to be Monday deacon, do you, Ronnie? Well, I'm deacon on Sunday, but then there's Monday. That's right. Be assertive, not aggressive. There's a difference. You can be assertive without being aggressive. Let me ask you this. How sharp are your elbows? And I'm talking in a spiritual sense, not in a business sense. You can be assertive, but you don't have to be aggressive. Be flexible. Bible says there's a time and there's a season for everything. The really wise person learns what that season is and flexes to it. Be personal. Can I tell you this? You'll never get what you're not willing to give. And we live in a culture right now that is faux personal. I may have to put that in the Urban Dictionary. Can I just say this? Is that Facebook and true intimate influence building personal connection aren't always the same thing. Can you use that tool? You certainly can. But that tool in and of itself isn't the end all be all. If we hope to influence people for the kingdom of Christ, we must be personal. We must be willing to open our minds, to open our hearts, to be transparent. You must be willing to be hurt. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If we're truly going to be influencers of the world, we must be willing to have the knife stuck into our back while they look us in the eyes. You say, well, Jimmy, some will listen. Fewer will receive. And then there's those that'll just maybe take advantage or reject altogether. Are we personable people? Are we really? And can I just say this? In the spirit of authenticity, I get tired of giving sometimes. I get tired of trying to decipher of whether this story is a lie or not a lie. I get tired of dealing with people who have a sense of entitlement that just because they ask me, they should have what you have given to the Lord. It's a burdensome thing. It's a tiring thing. It's an aggravating thing. Oh, weren't you here just last week? What, do you think I'm stupid? Is this not your ID? Now I digress. I'm starting to fly off the handle. You can hear the... Ladies and gentlemen, what I say is this, is as your pastor, as a believer, as a person who's to be the role model, as the person who's given the privilege to be your hands and feet, even I get frustrated. But we can't allow that to impede us from being personal. Let's go on quickly. Focus on actions rather than arguments. Listen, how many times do arguments actually get anything done? Let's focus on actions and outcome. Sometimes you just got to go, well, okay. You can't, you know. Listen to others. How about this? A wise man once said, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. We should listen twice as much as we speak. That's hard for me. Very, very hard. But my bride might tell. I do a better job, right? Oh. I hung that matzo ball out there. I mean, Ronnie, that was a bear trap. That's a 2-footer. Double foot bear trap. Who do you know that fits this description? Are you an influencer? Like I said, we all influence somebody somewhere. The question is what are we influencing them to? Ladies and gentlemen, influencing the world doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes conscientious effort and sacrifice. And if the church is truly going to touch the world with the gospel, we must be committed to being influencers. Let's go ahead. Verse 17, then Daniel returned to the house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You will know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He urged them to plead for the mercy of God of heaven concerning this mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Now, there is a prayer meeting that has a little purpose. Daniel sought the guidance and support of other believers. That's still a path we should take. He went to fellow believers. He shared the burden and asked them to join in seeking this answer. Together, they sought the unknowable. You remember everyone said, well, King, we can't know this. I mean, who could even know this? Even the little g gods, they might know it, but they're not available. They sought together the unknowable from the God who knows everything. Amen? Now, just because he knows it doesn't mean he always shares it. Footnote. So do you think that was a tough night? You think there was much napping? I bet you coffee was flowing. Oh, you know it was, Ronnie. Or Coke, you know, maybe, yeah. Yeah. Everybody was drinking 2 liters. But can you imagine going through the night seeking the wisdom and provision of God, knowing that tomorrow comes your death? That's highly motivational right there. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision, and Daniel praised God, the God of heaven, and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others." My friends, don't worry. God deposes and he raises up. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in the darkness, and light dwells within him. I thank and praise you, God of my ancestors. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. God not only responded in a timely manner, but in a thorough manner. You serve an on-time God, ladies and gentlemen. James 1:5 says this, "If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." God says, if you want to know, you ask. But you ask in the right temperament, with the right heart, and you receive what God says you should receive. Daniel's response was thanks and praise. Can I ask you this? Do we sometimes treat prayer like fast food? Well, now, wait a minute.
Do it all the time.
Wait a minute. What do you mean by this? We ask, we receive, and we run. Yes, I'll have a number one, please. You want cheese on that? No. The price margin in cheese must be like a gazillion dollars. But don't we? In times of crisis, we ask, we receive, and then you know what? We're just on to the next thing. We don't take time to praise God that not only that he cares enough that he'd listen to us, not only is he God enough that he knows, and not only that he would share with us. We just ask, receive, and run. Next! Could be that we have a small vision of God because we just don't spend enough time appreciating what he's already doing. No thought, no enjoyment, and no real appreciation. How many times have you gone through a drive-through and you didn't really think about it? It just happened to be on the way. You didn't really enjoy it. It just happened to be what was there, and you had no real appreciation for it. Have you ever done that? Oh, please, we all have. Well, I guess I'll eat this. Jeff, did you ever have a meal like this when you were commuting? Yeah. Well, I mean, it's on the way. Well, did you enjoy your meal? You know, his bride would say, well, no, not really, but, you know, it was food. We have to be careful not to do this. We live in a busy world. You live a busy life. I get it. But my friends, if we're going to truly understand and experience God in his fullness, we need to slow down and hang out a little while. Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about. But there is a God. In Washington, D.C., negatory ghostwriter. But there is a God who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Daniel walks in. He says, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, this is my sanctified imagination. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, thank you for your patience. Thank you for the grace of giving us an opportunity. Thank you. Because there's a God. Not the little g gods who are unavailable, but the capital G God. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And he has shown what are in days to come. Now I want to ask you a question. Would you like to know what Nebuchadnezzar's dream meant? You'll have to come back next week. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. Father, we just thank you so much that there is a God in heaven. And Lord, I confess that any deficiency or smallness that I perceive of you is my fault. Lord, we have a world that desperately has questions just like Nebuchadnezzar had. But Lord, they're looking for all the little g gods who simply are unavailable. Father, I pray today that beginning with myself, that you would draw me close and that you would slow me down. Lord, don't let me be a fast food believer. Father, help me to see you for who you really are and who I really am in light of that. Father, help us to desire to know you and to make you known. Lord, help us to be kingdom influencers. Lord, earning the audience in a lost and dying world isn't hard, but you still have called us to do it. Lord, sharing truth in a lost and dying world isn't always received very well, but you've called us to do it. Lord, the good news is not often received in a lost and dying world, but you've called us to deliver it in word and in action. Father, I pray that you would help all of us think about our kingdom influence, both here inside the church and out there in our mission field. Lord, are we influencers? Are we advancing the kingdom? Father, let us have an honest evaluation, a compassionate evaluation, Lord, and perhaps a recommitment anew as we begin to creep out of the shadow of the lost year and into the light of new days. Father, there is great work both inside the church as well as outside the church. But Father, we have you. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for your faithfulness to us. Father, call our minds, our hearts, our hands, and our feet to be faithful to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.